Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to thank every one of you here because you help send us around the world. And recently, I just returned from being in Asia and nations there, including China under its communism and rule there. And it was interesting to read the press and to read the stories that have to be approved by the government. So you only hear what the government wants to say. And so when you read the stories and then I come back to the United States and I read the stories here, I realize that the stories have been changed because if you're not in freedom, then somebody edits what you can read. The internet, I couldn't get access to certain sites, like simple sites like Bible Gateway, so I could look up Bible passages. You can't get to that site in China because the government closes down certain sites. So when I come back to the United States, I see that we are free. We have these freedoms. I was just in Africa, in Swaziland, which is ruled by a king. Yeah, there are still nations ruled by a king. A king who has 14 wives and a king that makes the decisions. The rule, he is the rule. And you say, wait a minute, 238 years ago, 13 colonies here in the United States said we are not going to be subject to a nation or a king, or we want freedom. And so all the fireworks, and I watched fireworks on TV from Washington, D.C., and fireworks on TV from New York, and you probably did. And then I came here last night, and there were more fireworks. And I stood right out in front of the church a little after 9 and I watched fireworks. Why? Because we celebrate freedom. And then I come here this morning and the first song that you sang was I Am Free. Oh, isn't that interesting? That we celebrate freedom in our walk with God. Freedom in our walk with God. And I would encourage all of you to understand there are some truths, and in the back, in this series, and this is brand new, there are 6 truths that provide the freedom that we sang about in God and that we're going to talk about in just a moment here. And I encourage you to get this because if we're not careful, as we're going to learn this morning, our emotions will take our freedom from us. How many of you have ever had your emotions take away your freedom? About 6 honest ones and a bunch of liars in this section. Come on, how many of you have ever said something you wish you wouldn't? Your freedom was gone then. Because the moment you say it, now you're in bondage to your words. And you say, I shouldn't have said that. Anyone ever gotten angry? I love this crew. Concerned about this one. Because our anger puts us in bondage and our freedom is gone. And then this puts us in bondage. Anybody ever worry? The same honest people. Listen, worry puts you in bondage. Did you know that 90% of what you worry about never happens? But we're so convinced. And I want you to see today, and I encourage you to get these, and I've reduced the cost, and there's 2 gals right here. Thank you for helping me. They'll be at the back to help you back there, and you can get these and take these with you. But I want you to turn in your Bibles today, if you would, to the book of Genesis. And to an incredible passage, and there are 3 statements that I want you to grasp. And so I want you to look at Genesis 50, and I'm going to read to you from about verse 15, and on the screen will be the three verses that we're going to focus on today. But I want you to read from about verse 15, and it says this. It says this. It's the story of Joseph. Now listen, how many of you think Joseph could have worried? How many of you think Joseph could have gotten angry? How many of you have been sold into slavery by your brothers? Come on, how many ever had a brother or sister that did something to you that was wrong? How many still have one that does that? No, don't lift your hand. I have family that's here today, and the great thing about 4th of July is you get with family, and I had a chance to get with family last night. We told stories of how family members do things to other family members. But sometimes when that happens, we get angry. And we get it. How many of you know there are a lot of people that carry unforgiveness? How many of you think Joseph could have had some unforgiveness? Falsely accused, thrown in jail for 13 years for something he never did. He lied about me. That's not true. I never said that. No, that isn't the way it is. You ever heard those words? But we see something here at the end of Joseph's life. It's the last scene before we see him die. And he says these words to his brothers, the brothers who sold him into slavery, who lied to their father and said he was killed by an animal. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, here's our text, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God?" Verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me," but say it with me, "but God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." And verse 21, say this with me, "So do not fear." Why? Three pinnacles that we must climb, three mountains, if you want freedom in your life, these are the three. Derek Kidner, who is a Bible scholar, said these words, "These are the three pinnacles. If you are going to live in the freedom of true Christian faith, these are the three pinnacles that all of us must climb. If you want to be free, as the song said, I am free to dance." No, you're not if you're filled with worry. You don't dance. "I am free to sing." No, you're not if you're filled with grudges and unforgiveness. See, we want to sing the song, but the song is meaningless unless you climb these three pinnacles. And so I want you to understand, if you want freedom on this week of celebration for the freedom of our nation, if you want true freedom, and this is what this country, if they're going to be in true freedom, and its people, and all of us in this room, if we want true freedom, we have to climb these three pinnacles of faith. Here's what it is. Because in the story of Joseph, we see lots of trouble, and God seems silent, but he is not absent. We see a lot of things happen to Joseph, and it seems like that God is hidden. But remember this, because he's hidden does not mean he is impotent. As a matter of fact, during the time of your deepest trouble and struggles, if you miss that God is working on your behalf, you are missing the greatest opportunity of growth and freedom in your life. Now, I want you to remember that. And if you didn't get it, turn to your neighbor and say, what did he just say? If you miss that God is working on your behalf when everything is going wrong in your life, you are missing the greatest opportunity for growth and freedom in your life. Watch this, because this is the story of Joseph. It's not fair. How many of you have ever had a little kid? Mom, it's not fair. You ever heard that? You ever said it? I think we all have. And this is the story of not fair. And so these brothers come to Joseph after Joseph has shown them incredible blessing for a long time here. And now their dad dies and they're afraid. Uh-oh, dad's dead. He's going to take it out on us now. He's only been treating us good because dad was alive. But now that dad's dead, he's going to get us. He's going to get us. So let's go to him. And basically, here's what they said. Dad said, you got to be nice to us. Come on, how many of you have ever done that? When you were a little kid, you went to your brother or your sister and you said, Mom said, you got to be nice to us. Come on, how many of you have ever done that? That's what these grown men did to Joseph. They came and basically they said, Joseph, Daddy said, you got to be nice to us. And Joseph cried. Do you know why Joseph cried? Because he realized that there still wasn't trust in his brothers. And I think God cries sometimes because we are not willing to climb these three pinnacles. We say we're Christians and we come here on Sunday morning and we sing, I am free, but we're really not. We're in bondage to unforgiveness. We're in bondage to worry. Watch this. Because here's the key. Here's the key. If you want to be free, you've got to come to a place where you can do what Joseph did in verse 19. Are you ready? Verse 19. Do not fear, for am I in the place of God. If you want freedom, you have to get out of God's chair. Now listen. You say, what do you mean? I don't want to get in God's chair. Yes, you do. Every time you take your own moral authority for your own life, you get in God's chair. In other words, when you say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but this is the way I'm going to live. The moment you do that, you get into God's chair and you're no longer in freedom. Now you've taken the headman's job. So you take your own authority for your moral behavior on yourself. Well, here's how we do this today. You ready? Here's how we do this today. We say things like, I know that that's what the Bible says, but, and people used to believe that, but now, how many say that word? But now we know better. You ever heard people say that? Of all the people that have decided that they're not going to serve Christ and they're not going to follow Jesus, of all the people, most of the time, the reason they don't serve God is not because they argue theologically against God. It's because something bad happened to them or to somebody they loved. And so now they take and they say, I discount what the Bible says because bad things happened to me. You ever heard that? Okay. So what do? We take on our own moral authority. And get out of God's chair. Get out of God's chair. And I've had people say to me, how many of you have ever had people say to you, I just can't live the whole Bible. So if I can't live the whole Bible, I'm not going to live any of the Bible. You ever heard that? So I want you, when people say that to you, to say, go back to Adam and Eve in the garden. You could have taken their Bible and put it in a fortune cookie. What was their Bible? God said, you can do whatever you want, just don't eat of that tree. One thing. And guess what? They decided they wanted to be like God. Oh, isn't that interesting? What did Satan say? If you eat of the fruit, you will what? Be like God. That's exactly right. The moment you decide to make your own decisions on what the moral authority is for your life, you get in God's chair and you become like God. And that's what they did. They disobeyed the command not to eat of the tree, so they became like God. And you do the same thing. Every time you take your own moral authority for your life and you say, I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to make this decision, you get in the chair of God and you become like God. And you lose your freedom. Freedom's gone. Secondly, look at this. It's not just that we get in the chair when we take on our own moral authority, but when we think we can meet other people's deepest needs. And I want to say something to doctors and lawyers and preachers and psychologists and educators that are in the room today. Listen to me. Everybody wants to write their book and write in their book how they have all the answers, and if you'll do it this way, this will work. But ultimately, no doctor, no psychiatrist, no psychologist, no sociologist, no preacher can meet everybody's deepest needs. Only God can. And the moment we think that we can meet people's deepest needs, we get in God's chair. And you know when we try to do this? I'm going to say something to every husband and wife in the room today and every parent in the room today. Get out of God's chair. You can't meet the deepest needs of your husband or of your wife. And you can't meet the deepest needs of your kids. And you can't meet the deepest needs of your parents. And some of you are in bondage trying to meet the deepest needs of those people in your life. You can't. Get out of God's chair and get free. Get free. Only God can meet the deepest needs. Do yourself a favor today as a husband and wife. Look at each other. Hold each other's hands. And say these words to each other. I can't meet your deepest needs. And you can't meet mine. Only God can meet our deepest needs. And I'm going to tell you what. You'll kiss happier. You will, because you can't meet the deepest needs of your kids. I have a son. How old are you?
19.
I have a son. He's 34. Listen, I can't meet his deepest needs. I can't. Now, his mother would like to. No. We can't meet. Listen, you two married? Okay. Make a decision before you get married, because I like that word, not yet, which means it's okay. There must be, there's a ring, see? Okay. Listen, love each other, enjoy each other, but always remember, you'll never be able to meet each other's deepest needs. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. And the moment you begin to turn to God, you're going to be free in your marriage. Your marriage will be free. Because there'll be times you'll cry. You'll cry with each other. And you'll be able to look at each other. And you'll be able to say, we have to trust God in this one. Now that's free. It won't cost you a dime. You hear me? So your parents are going to get old. You got parents?
I do.
They're going to get old. And you're going to have to start caring for them a little bit.
I tell little kids in the store, I say, get your dad to buy you something good, because one of these days you're going to push their wheelchair. But listen to me. You can respect them and you can honor them, but you can't meet their deepest needs. Only God can do that. And be free. You'll be free then. But the moment you try to meet other people's needs, or you let people think you can meet their needs, your freedom's gone. And so that Joseph came to a place, Joseph comes to a place here, and he says, he realizes that. And so, am I God? Say that with me. Say it again. No, we're not. Look at this. Number three, if you want to get into God's chair and lose your freedom, start worrying. Oh, what does worry mean? I'll tell you what worry means. Worry means me worry. Yeah, worry means, listen, worry means that we think we know how God should do it and when God should do it. And so if God, we can't trust God because God probably won't do it right. That's worry. I just defined worry for you. So you think because the doctor gave a diagnosis that you need to worry. No, 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 no. Now you're getting in God's chair. No, God, no, no, get out of God's chair, free yourself, and say, listen, listen, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He knows when to do it. He knows how to do it. And he doesn't make a mistake. So he's in prison. Joseph is in prison. He's 11 years in prison, and two guys, cupbearer and cook, come, and he gives them the interpretation of their dream, and he says, remember me when you get out of here. And they get up there, and they forget all about him. And two more years, he's in prison. And Joseph could have worried, oh, man, one of those guys is going to tell him, and don't they know us? This is wrong. And no, 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 no. 13 years after prison, God takes him at the very moment that's most important. You see, you've got to trust that God's timing is perfect. It's never too late. No, what do you mean? They died. They died. Listen to me. Listen to me. You don't know what the story is, but one day you will. And when you hear all the facts, you're going to realize, I was wrong. I didn't need to worry. God knew exactly what he was doing. Because all things are turned to good when you trust the Lord. You said, how can this be turned to good? This is awful. No, no, no. You think it's awful. But God sees things you don't see. Now watch this. Now, the Bible says that God sometimes interrupts our services with words that we cannot understand, and there needs then to be an interpretation of those words, and it's the reason he uses language we don't understand is because it gets our attention. Then when we understand what is said, we can accept it, and we can say, yes, I hear that, okay? So now I want you to stop, sir, and I want someone to interpret what has just been said so we can now hear what God is saying and we can receive the truth. Here's what I sense God is trying to tell us in this word in spiritual language that we just heard. You are hearing the truth. You are understanding today how to be free. You are understanding how to leave your worry aside. You've tried to keep and carry all these things on yourself and in your own understanding and in your own thinking. But if you will just trust me, if you will just let me do what I want to do because I love you and I will not fail you, if you will just eat from my hand, you will know that I am good. Listen, God is good. Here's the interesting thing. A lot of people think that God is only good if things go good according to our thinking. But God is good even when things go bad according to our thinking. See? Okay? So you've got to understand this. God isn't good because we, by our opinion, judge it as good. God is good because he cannot fail us. And I want to say this to you, and I want you to understand this. This is really important to understand, and I want you to get this before we wrap up here, okay? I want you to understand this. This is really important. Some of you in this room have done some things and made some choices, and they haven't been necessarily all that good. Okay? So some of you, how many of you have ever done something? You made a choice or you'd done something and it wasn't all that good and you thought, boy, did I blow it. And how many of you think that if you would have made a different choice back here in your life, it probably would have made your life better? Stop it. Stop thinking that. Because who's in control of the plan for your life? Then God will make all of your life good. If you'll follow him. Let me show this to you. For Joseph, he was raised by who? Who was his daddy? Who was Joseph's daddy? Jacob. Well, listen. Jacob lied to his father and lied to his brother. Is that good? Is that what we want? To be liars? To our father? To our brothers? Did it cause him some problems? Yes. But watch this. Because of his lying, he was able to meet the love of his life, Rachel, and bear the children, and one of the descendants would be who? Jesus. You see, even Jacob couldn't ruin his life. And you can't either if you'll follow Jesus. I don't care how bad the mistake was. I don't care how wrong the choice was. You can't ruin your life if you'll trust Jesus. Are you listening to me? You have to turn your back on Jesus. You have to turn your back on God to ruin your life. But if you turn your life to God, he'll take even your biggest mistake and turn it to your good. You hear that? So Joseph understood this. And watch this, because here's the fourth way we can get in God's chair when we carry a grudge. Are you listening? When we decide we're going to judge other people and we carry a grudge, we get in God's chair. And the moment you start carrying a grudge and unforgiveness and you don't know what they did to me and you don't know how bad the church was to me and you don't know how bad my boss was to me and you don't know what my wife did to me and you don't know what my husband did to me and you don't know what the government and the government's bad and this one's bad. Listen to me, my friend. Forget listening to all that Fox News chatter. Listen to me. God is in control. Trust him. He knows where this whole thing's going. He knows how to handle it. Some of you sit around and talk like you know. Get out of God's chair and stop being so angry and start doing what God said. Forgive 7 times 70 times. Because the moment you get in God's chair and you carry that grudge, you don't know. My life would have been different. It cost me all this money. It cost me this. It cost me that. So when you sit in heaven, tell me what the money's going to be worth. Get out of God's chair and be free. Be free. Trust God. Trust God for your kids. Trust God for your kids. Watch this. Not only do we need to get out of God's chair, but number two, and I'm going to finish right on time, not like your pastor. Listen to me. Listen. Here's the second thing, the second pinnacle we need to climb. We need to look at everything through God's eyes. Say that with me. You got to get, if you're lost, if you're out in the Wisconsin, out in the field and you're hunting and you get lost, the best thing you can do is find the highest point and look out. Okay? If you're mountain climbing, get to the highest point on the mountain and look out and you'll be able to see better. But some of us are trying to do that from the valley. You can't see from the valley. You can't see from the valley. You got to look through God's eyes. He says this in verse 20. So in verse 19, he says, am I God? But watch this. He says this. Look at verse 20. Now he's saying to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for... Okay, so you got to see through God's eyes. God can see way out there. God knows how to turn things around. And then number three, the third pinnacle that we need to climb, watch this, the third pinnacle that we need to climb is we need to show the image of God's love with our lives. So he says in verse 21, I will provide for you and your children. I will provide for you and your little ones. He gives them not only forgiveness, but he goes over and above forgiveness. And he says, I'll provide for all your food, all your housing, all your needs. He says, I will incredibly bless you. And what is happening here? You see, Joseph moves and he says, I'm going to look through God's eyes. I'm going to forgive them and I'm going to provide for them. Why? Why am I going to do that? Because I'm going to live in a place of humility. Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. He comes to this place of incredible humility. And when we come to incredible humility, now how did Joseph start out? He had this coat of many colors and he walked around like a peacock. And he told his brothers, hey, I had a dream and you guys are going to bow down. He was filled with pride. He was a brat. He was an absolute brat, spoiled brat. But what does he come to? Incredible humility. And if you want to become free, if you want to live free, you got to get to the place of humility. You got to come to the place, like Joseph did, and say, I'm going to forgive you. I'm not going to hold this against you. And not only am I going to forgive you, but I'm going to bless you beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond and beyond. Now you say, wait, I can't do that. Come on, how many of you thought, while I was talking today, I can't do that? Somebody did. Listen to me. I hear people all the time, they say, I can't do that. I can't forgive. I can't let that go. I can't believe that God's going to work this to my good. This was bad. This was evil. I can't believe God can do that. I can't do that. I can't do what Joseph did. Listen to me. You're right. But Jesus said, you can do better than Joseph. Matthew 11:11. Here's the hinge to today's message. Matthew 11:11. You ready? Here's what it says. John the Baptist, he tells his disciples, John the Baptist was greater than all who have lived. John the Baptist was greater than all who have lived. John the Baptist, greater than Joseph, greater than Moses, greater than David. John the Baptist was greater. And then he says these words. Look at this, Matthew 11:11. And the least in the kingdom of God will be greater than him. That means you and you and you and you, gals, and you, Vicky, and you. And you, and you, and you are going to be greater than Joseph. Why? Now watch this, because this is going to flip this whole thing on its ear. Because Joseph is the foreshadowing of who? Jesus. Okay? So his cup of suffering was given to him by his who? Brothers. All right? Given to him by his brothers. And Jesus receives the cup of suffering. All right? Are you ready? So, when you look at this, Joseph receives the cup of suffering from his brothers. This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. He receives the cup of suffering from his brothers. And, are you ready? So, Jesus receives the cup of suffering for who? It's our cup of suffering. And he says it's from my who? Father. He says, my Father gave me this cup of suffering and I'm going to drink it. He says, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Oh, Father, let it pass from me. No, no, no. I will drink it. Father gives him the cup of suffering so that we would not have to bear the cup of suffering. Watch this. Are you ready? So Joseph suffers so that the people of Israel can live and be saved and his brothers can be saved. And Jesus suffers and dies so that you and I can live. Are you listening to me? You see, when Jesus went to the cross, what he did is he made it possible for all of us to be better than Joseph. How? Because by seeing the grace of God, that he took such great humility. Now listen, you say Joseph was able to do that because he wasn't God, but Jesus did it and he was God. So he stepped down from being God to become like us. The ultimate humility. The ultimate humility. For what reason? He took your hell so you will never have to face hell. He took your eternal darkness. What did he say? He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He screamed, he screeched out, listen, so that you and I would never have to be forsaken by the Father. No matter how bad you think you've ruined your life, if you turn to Jesus, he will turn all things to your good. All things. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're doing right now. Come to Jesus. And Jesus will give you his grace. Would you bow your heads with me all over this room today? Because there's not a person in this room that doesn't want to live in freedom. You do. You want to live in freedom. You want to live in freedom. And so if you're going to live in freedom, if you're going to live in freedom, you have to come to Jesus and you have to get out of God's chair and you have to come to this place. You have to come to this place where not only you're going to get out of God's chair, but listen to me, you're going to be willing to say, you're going to see everything through God's eyes. And not only that, but you're going to forgive and you're going to bless those that have hurt you because you're going to show the image of God's love to others. You're going to do that because Jesus has given you such grace and such mercy and such forgiveness, and he loves you so much that he won't let anything destroy your life, nothing, if you'll follow him. And when you see that, you say, then why in the world should I live in bondage to things that have happened to me or things that have been done to me? Or why in the world shouldn't I bless those and show God's love who maybe they showed me malice and they were evil toward me? I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. And I'll be free to dance, and I'll be free to sing. But you can't if you're going to sit in God's chair, if you're going to hold grudges against people and not be willing to show the image of God to others.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.